Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. The chronometers have been compared and wound, and the officer of the deck is requesting permission to strike not eight bells, but one bell. And noon never happens, in at least in Captain Joe's ships, until the captain says, "Make it so." So I am making it so. My greetings today go out from the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden on the other, of which Stockholm is the capital, and all of the places in between. My greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who came and took my tour at Point Robinson Lighthouse. Last Sunday was my last regular Sunday tour day, and I had not only a full boat all afternoon long, but because some people were lollygagging around and skylarking, the captain decided to stay open just a little bit longer to accommodate those who thought that they were going to find the troll down on Coast Guard property. I tell them that in 34 years of active duty and many years after that, and having been on literally hundreds of Coast Guard installations and cutters, I have never seen a troll in any one of those places. And so there is not one down on Point Robinson Light Station, but there is on Park District property up the hill. Some people come to the light thinking that the troll is down there somewhere. They've made a mistake. They are quickly and rapidly disabused of that. And I then take the opportunity to include them in whatever touring is going on at the time. It has been a great and glorious year for tours. So many wonderful new friends that became part of what I've tried to do, not just try, but what I do with not only the tours and talking about Coast Guard and talking about whatever anybody else wants to talk about. Often it's about grandchildren or children, because many children come in and are part of what we do together. And they bring their dogs, because I have a bowl of fresh water out in front of the lighthouse every week, and I give away the healthy dog treats that come from my friend Megan at Best Friend's Kitchen in Traverse City, Michigan. During the week, in connection with the lighthouse touring, during the week, I had a telephone call from a young gentleman by the name of Kelly. 10 years ago, or 11 years ago, 12 years ago, Kelly needed some community service hours to fulfill one of the graduation requirements from Vashon High School. They only, at that time, only had to have 30 hours, not nearly enough, say I. But anyway, he did not have any hours accumulated yet, and through the good offices of his parents, on whom all blessings flow, he came to me and he said, "Captain Joe, could I learn how to do the tours at the lighthouse and thus do my 30 hours?" Out of that came a wonderful friendship. And over the years, whenever Kelly was applying for a job, I would get a signal from the employment office of that particular place wanting a reference. And I was always happy to give him the best that he had earned. So Kelly called me and he said, "Captain Joe, I'm moving back to the Puget Sound area." And he said, "I'd very much like to be part of the Point Robinson experience once again." So next summer, Kelly will be going port and starboard with me on the tours. What he doesn't know is that I am going to also include him in some restructuring of the volunteer group called the Keepers of Point Robinson. If any of you are talking to Kelly between now and then, you need not tell him that. That's for me to tell him. The next time that we will be open for regular tours will be on the open house, which this year is on the 8th of December. And during the time that I was doing the tours, I gave out literally hundreds of the posters that have all of the Washington lighthouses. And on the back of that poster is a place for a person to put the stamp of each one of the lighthouses that they visit. And I gave out hundreds of those. And I tell the story about Anastasia and Aaron, who completed all of the lighthouses. They went to all of them, and they did it on motorcycles. So I am just so grateful for everybody who came. We had just a wonderful year together, and we will have an even better year next year, because not only will the captain be there, but Kelly will be there. And Kelly is a remarkable young man, and everybody will enjoy getting to know him. The binnacle list today is a sad one for your captain. Flags are at half-staff at captain's quarters, and that's because two friends have crossed the bar. One of them was more than just a friend. He and I were related. He was my brother-in-law, my sister Lib's husband. And I loved Jack from the first day that I met him. He was just a wonderful, wonderful, kind, and gentle gentleman. A PhD from Princeton. He did his undergraduate work at Harvard. And a professor in several Catholic universities. And he had descended into the darkness of Alzheimer's. In the last several years, I have always gone to Vermont to spend Thanksgiving with that family, with my sister and Jack and their children. So this year, the plan was in place. It remains in place. I'm going. But the plan was, because I felt very strongly that this would be the last year that Jack knew who I was. He died on Sunday morning. He was found by Lib, my sister, my baby sister. And now all of my mother's children have outlived their spouses. There may be a message there. I don't know exactly what it is, and I choose not to spend any time meditating on it. But that is the fact of the matter. And in particular with Jack, I will miss not only his friendship, but his unique insight into many things, because he was not only an academic, but he was also an intellectual. His doctorate was in medieval English literature. And when he and Lib came to visit us in Cambridge, I took him to Canterbury, to the land of Chaucer. We lived in Chaucer Road. Mary and I lived in a university house in Chaucer Road. And I took him to Canterbury, where the Canterbury Tales, Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, are cited. And that was just one of the many things that we did together over the years. When my sister and Jack were married, I was the one who walked Lib down the aisle, because our father had been killed not too long before that in an airliner crash in the Florida Everglades. I wore dress white uniform, and I must honestly report that Jack was not particularly impressed. But it was a glorious day for all of us. And that was just the beginning of his being a part of the family, but our friendship started before that. I honor his memory, and I don't know yet many of the details of how he crossed the bar, but I can only hope that it was kind and gentle and soft. A good man, a life that was lived in a good way, doing good things for many people. I miss him already. The second one is a member of my professional family. Captain Dick Taylor died yesterday. A brother icebreaker captain, a sailor and a seaman. And I was led to remark and to meditate on this. I was told about this by another one of us, icebreaker people, icebreaker captains. There are not many of us in the world. There are not many of us who do this work or who did it. And the number of countries that to which we belong are not very many. So when one of them crosses the bar, it is particularly close to my heart. So the flags remain at half staff until interment, and that will be certainly in Jack's case in a day or a few days. I don't know about Captain Taylor. But it serves as a reminder to all of us. And it is my reminder to all of Captain Joe's people who are listening to me today. We know not the hour, nor the day, nor the time. And so we need, especially in those cases where membership on the binnacle list goes a long way back, and that's certainly the case with Jack. He had been on this Alzheimer's voyage for a long time. And so it is to all of us to touch fingertips with those we love, and especially those who are occupying a place on the binnacle list. So far as binnacle list membership is concerned, with people who I have been reporting on and who are in the palm of my hand, we are making steady progress. Young Kurt is now moved into his own room. And I do have to mention Captain O'Brien's wife, Mary O'Brien, who is having some orthopedic challenges. All of Captain Joe's Coast Guard people are improving, at least so far as I can tell, and so far as I know, and so far as I can read from all of the signals that come to me. Carry on. Follow the instructions of your medical practitioner. I don't want to be a part of the flag-folding ceremony, as I was not too long ago with my friend and colleague, Captain Ray Copen. The magazine today, actually there are two of them, instead of a magazine and a book. So one magazine is called Warships International. There are two things in it that are of particular interest to me, and one of them has to do with an article about Sweden and Sweden's entry into the NATO alliance. And the title of the article is called Sweden's NATO Naval Revolution. Sweden, of course, is a country which is of particular interest to me because I have family that lives and works in Sweden. And the member of that family holds dual citizenship, and both in not as a subject. In Sweden, you are not a subject. In the UK, you are a subject of His Majesty the King. In Sweden, you're not anybody's subject, but you are a citizen of a country that is ruled by His Majesty the King. So the title is Sweden's NATO Naval Revolution, and it talks about the ending of more than 200 years of neutrality. Now, there are good political and operational reasons why Sweden became a member of NATO. We've talked a little bit about it. But it is, of course, in not only her self-interest, but in the interest of all of us who are Arctic powers. Because all of the Arctic countries, with the exception of the Russian bear, are now NATO members. And that particular fact is certainly not lost on the leadership of the Russian government. The second article in this particular issue of Warships International, which comes, by the way, from the UK, it is a Brit publication, and it is one that I do not, I get, I do not subscribe to it. I buy it occasionally at Barnes & Noble. May Barnes & Noble live forever. I patronize bookstores that are real bookstores, and I actually go into them and trawl. And I found this particular issue, and I picked it up because of the article about Sweden. And I went through the rest of it, scanning quickly because I have a lot of other stuff to read. But there's one article that says, Patrol Ships Hit the Bullseye in Indo-Pacific. And it's a story about, in particular, the Singapore and the Sri Lanka, which was Ceylon. And in this article is a photograph of a ship which I know to be a former Coast Guard 210-foot cutter, and that means that she's a sister to my Reliance. I do not know what the former name of this particular ship is, but there's no doubt that that's what she is. And I'm going to find out who she is, and I will bet you that somebody on that's listening to this broadcast, one of Captain Joe's people of the Coast Guard type, will be able to tell me what ship of the 210-foot class did we give to Sri Lanka, Ceylon, Sri Lanka. The other magazine is, of course, The Week. And there are two things in The Week this week that I am going to mention. The first one is a piece of good news. And I always look for that particular good news. So here it is. And here is the quote from it. England's first official hedgehog crossing signs have been installed as part of an effort to protect the species. Four signs were unveiled in Old Malden in southwest London after it was discovered that the area had a thriving population of hedgehogs. The Department for Transport approved the designs in December last year, but it is up to local authorities to roll out the signs as they see fit. There are thought to be fewer than 1 million hedgehogs left in the UK, down from 36 million in the 1970s. So I have to tell you that in Cambridgeshire, there are lots of hedges, and there are lots of hedgehogs, and so I am delighted with this piece of news, and that takes me to the second thing, and that is from the real estate market that is in the week for this week. And the real estate market this week is called Flats in Historic Buildings. And I picked up on one that I just cannot resist. If I'm going to go live in the UK, of course, I'm going to live in Cambridgeshire. And this one's not in Cambridgeshire. It's in Lancashire. But it is a flat in Thurland Castle in Tunstall, part of an impressive 11th century castle. That means that it was built in the 1000s. Once home to Sir Thomas Tunstall, knighted at Agincourt. So this is a flat inside this castle, which still is in existence from the 1000s. And here's the description of the flat. It has a main suite, three further beds, one ensuite. That means that it has its own head. That means the other two do not. That means that you go out into the bushes. Watch out for those hedgehogs out in the bushes. A family bath. We know what that one means. A kitchen and breakfast room. And then four recepts. You remember that recepts are sort of what we would call a living room. Garden, tennis court, and parking. And it's for sale for £1 million. Now, if that were in Cambridgeshire, I'm going to Cambridgeshire in October, and I would be looking around to see whether or not I wanted to buy that particular piece of property. I am concerned about what's going on with the SS United States. The granddaughter of William Francis Gibbs, who was the nominal designer of her, and let's be clear here that no one person is the designer of a particular vessel, especially one of the size and complexity of the United States. But right now, she is alongside a pier in Philadelphia, and she's rotting away. And she is owned by an organization called the SS United States Conservancy. And they are about ready to be evicted from the pier. And so the people that own her are trying to save her. And they are trying to find a place for her where she can, first of all, be moved and be safe. And secondly, be then refurbished and become a hotel or museum, sort of in the same sense as Queen Mary down in Long Beach. So William Francis Gibbs, his granddaughter, is one of the people that's involved in trying to save her. And if there cannot be a place found for her, then the next choice that is the one that most people who are involved with her would like to have happen is that she would be sunk as an artificial reef. And there are two places in Florida that are vying for that, should that be the choice, and that she not be able to be saved for the hotel and museum idea. So two places in Florida are vying for to have her, and that they would then sink her as an artificial reef. When that happens, and I do not see that there's much chance, but Queen Mary, that one was a close-run thing. My Ingham was a close-run thing, and now she is safe and happily moored in Key West, Florida. So it's a possibility, but should that one not come through, then what's going to have to happen, hopefully, is that she would be sunk as an artificial reef rather than being scrapped. I've told the story on here before. I'm going to tell it again, that if a captain sees one of his commands being scrapped, it goes right to your very heart and your very soul. And I saw that with my much-loved North Wind. I saw photographs of her as she was being taken apart. Her starboard side, the skin of her starboard side had been ripped off, and I could see inside her compartments. I'd been in every compartment in that ship. She had over 400 of them. I'd been in every compartment in that ship. I knew exactly each one of those spaces, and it broke my heart. So I'm hoping that, first of all, the United States can find a proper place to be tied up. That doesn't look too hopeful right now. The conservancy that owns her owes a lot of money for the pier space that they have been using for several years. She looks absolutely terrible. The work that has to be done to make her look even reasonably presentable is going to be incredibly expensive. So let's say that she does end up being an artificial reef. It is going to be a real job to sink that ship. No ship is unsinkable. You can take my word on that one. And so it can be made to happen. But far more would I prefer that that happened to her than that she be broken up and scrapped. One of my ships, Unimac, is an artificial reef off of the coast of New Jersey. And I am happy with that. The comments that I got on the program in which I had Captain Brigham all were so positive and interested and enthusiastic. I will have him back because we were able to get only into the beginnings of the information that he was able to give us. In the meantime, in other nautical news, an update on the Ingham story and of my conviction that a great thing to have happen will be for me to arrange to have a piece of my Ingham cut out and then carry it with suitable ceremony and then carry it to the next Ingham under construction at Eastern Shipbuilding in Panama City, Florida, and installed there. And I mentioned that I had now, thanks to my friend and colleague on the Coast Guard Channel, Joe Leonard, a great contact in Coast Guard headquarters with a person who is of like mind as your captain, that this will be a good thing. And we are indeed going to make it happen. And the question is one of timing. But I am so enthusiastic about this contact with this gentleman in Coast Guard headquarters. He is in what is called the Acquisitions Directorate. And so he is part of the organization that has responsibility for getting this ship going. And I am firm in my conviction that he is the right person to work with me to make it happen, and we are going to make it so. Marine traffic this morning, right off of Captain's Quarters. Flags at half staff, figuratively, not literally today. There is a car carrier out there, and car carriers don't occupy that anchorage very often. But there is one out there today, and she has the wonderful name of Morning Cornet. She's under the Liberian flag, and she is waiting to go alongside. She's loaded. What does she have inside her? What motor cars? Where did they come from? Well, she came from China, and she went from China to Canada and from Canada to us and on to that anchorage. And so my guess is that maybe she has some Chinese electric cars now or soon to be heavily tariffed. In other nautical news, in the St. Lawrence Seaway, a waterway that I have broken ice in, there has been in last year a significant cargo increase. Now, these ships are what are called in the Great Lakes salties. In other words, they come from saltwater up through the St. Lawrence Seaway and into the Great Lakes, and they go as far to the west as Duluth. And they bring all sorts of cargo from all over the world into the Great Lakes and into the Great Lakes system, which includes the Mississippi River. It includes a number of waterways, and it includes the elaborate rail system that we have in the Midwest. It's always a happy thing for me when I see traffic increasing in places like that, because our investment in the St. Lawrence Seaway at the time that it was built was incredibly high, and there was a concern that maybe it would never fulfill its destiny. Well, that's exactly what is indeed happening. The time has once away and almost but not quite gotten away from me, but this is indeed your Captain Joe. Grieve with me as I end this broadcast. Next week, I will be broadcasting from somewhere in the East Coast, probably New London, Connecticut. I am going to try, and I'm making no promise, no commitment, because if I make a promise to Captain Joe's people, then it gets kept. I'm going to try to broadcast from the deck of Eagle because I am going to a muster of icebreaker people. We're having it in New London, and Eagle is back now from her summer sailing and training. So this is your Captain Joe. As always, I am on station and watching properly. All of you, and especially those of you who are on the binnacle list, get better. Keep the improvement going. I met with my friend Jay on Sunday, and he is doing so much better. The cancer, we think, has all been gotten. And that is my hope. That's my wish, and would be my command if I could command in such things as that. So this is your Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and this time we're going to meet again from someplace on the East Coast near New London and hopefully from Eagle. All of you take care. Watch out for each other. Watch each other's six, and God bless.